Welcome to WitWorks Radio. It is Tuesday, July 9th. This is Abby Pober from the Co-ops and Careers Office, and I'm here with two fantastic colleagues who are going to introduce themselves.
Hi, it's Rhea Kalinowski, Co-op and Career Advisor from Co-ops and Careers. Happy to be here today.
And Becky Smith, I'm also a Co-op and Career Advisor.
Awesome. So what are we talking about today, guys?
Well, we're going to talk about navigating job offers. We co-op advisors noticed a trend in late June of students who had pending offers and needed to get back to employers, and we imagine it will happen again, either with students looking for fall co-ops or with people looking for long-term jobs that would begin after graduation.
Yeah, and it's a good thing to have an understanding of how that process works, because it can be tricky to navigate because companies are all on different timelines and they may want you to get back to them within certain time frames. So it's important to have an idea of how this whole process works. If you do get a job offer, what should you do first, Becky?
Well, what you should do, it's a great question, okay? Because if you have any mixed feelings, you may want to press pause, right? And there's a specific way to do that. What you should do is right away, within 24 hours, get back to them and thank them for the offer. Now, if you still aren't ready to accept the offer, it's perfectly fine to ask for more time.
I would say even if you are ready to accept, ask for more time just to think through the entire thing, you know, think about any salary negotiation pieces you may want to pursue if it is a full-time offer. So I'd say either way, anyway.
Yes, in fact, it's so common to ask for extra time. I even early in my career had one hiring manager say to me, "It's okay, think about it over the weekend. Talk with your parents. Get back to me on Monday."
Oh, that's great. That's an in-tune hiring manager, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's important to get that time to kind of process everything, because once you accept the offer, there's not really much going back after that.
There's really not. Don't go back after that.
That's right.
Even if you're really excited, take some time to think about it. What are some of the things you want to think about besides salary, Rhea or Abby?
There's so many things.
Yeah.
Your benefits package for sure, and your commute. Those are the first things I think about generally.
Commute is huge.
If flexible work schedule is something that's possible and something you want, if it's something that happens at the company, it's something you need to be considering, I think.
Mm-hmm. If you have other opportunities in the works, it's important to get an idea of where those companies kind of stand, especially if you've interviewed with some company that's your first choice but haven't received word back from them yet. It's really important to do that follow-up within the time frame.
How do you do that follow-up? I get a job offer today. Today's Tuesday, right? So I ask maybe until Friday to think about it. And what do I do in the next 4 days? Like, how do I approach those other companies where I might have loose ends? What do I say to them?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's important to reach back out to your contact at those companies. And depending on where you are in the process, if it's a place that you've just applied, you may ask if there's a possibility for an interview in the next few days, depending on whether they're a company that you're really excited about or not. If not, you can always just say, "Thank you so much, I've had another offer." If it's a company that you have had an interview or two with, you can get a better idea of where they are in the process and where you stand with them. I think that's important to kind of reach out and say, "Hey, you know, I've got an offer from X company. However, you're my first choice. Is it possible to get a better understanding of where I stand in the process? I do need to get back to them with an answer by Friday."
Man, yeah. I wish I had listened to you all.
Well, I am also guilty of accepting an offer right away. I was so excited to get an offer from this company in my, you know, the career of my choice that I was like, I paused for like a moment, I think. That's all I took to think about it. And then I was like, yes. And I really should have taken at least a day to think about, you know, just even salary negotiation piece, because I probably could have asked for a little bit more than what I was given. Yeah, so definitely, you know, set that specific date with the offer company and then definitely get back to them by that day. I think that's so important.
Yeah, that's key. Along with responding right away, that's just as important to then set a specific date you agree on and reply either way by that day. Mm. Another, by the way, side note is if you still need a little more time and that date comes around, you can ask. 50-50 chance they'll say yes or no, but they'll respect you for asking rather than disappearing. Don't disappear, please.
Yeah.
That makes people so concerned.
Yes, and they could then, the offer might not be good anymore if you don't meet the deadlines.
By the way, I may have gotten too much sun today. I'm acting a little sassy, but
we love sassy Becky.
It's summertime, Becky. It's great.
Are there ever times where, I don't want to describe this as an exploding job offer because that's not really what I'm thinking about. But where the employer will say, "I need you to accept or decline by such and such a date."
Yes, and I thank you for asking about that because sometimes young professionals feel they're being manipulated. Mm. It's honestly not that. Recruiters in human resources have really high pressure jobs. They have sometimes pretty strict deadlines, and sometimes the reality of the recruiting environment is if they let their first choice candidate have a full 2 weeks to think about it, all their other backup options might get other offers. If that first person declines, they're going to end up having to start all over again, which can put a recruiting person in hot water. Like, you're starting this all over again. So that's honestly usually why there's a good business reason. Plus, it's partly because you have competition. It's a competitive job market.
Right. And to that point, you can definitely decline an offer, but that's why they have kind of those shorter time frames to get a decision. You kind of have to think about all the other people who have interviewed for that position and that they're kind of hanging around waiting for an answer as well.
And I think we all know what it's like to be that person who applied and had two good interviews and has been waiting to hear something.
The worst. Yeah. Like, I'm pins and needles.
So basically you're getting the offer, but there are some people waiting in the wings on pins and needles, wishing they could hear.
Yeah. So it is important to think about everyone else.
Now I just went off on a side tangent, which I think was really valuable. What we were talking about, the other benefits to think of, if it's a permanent job, this is a new realm of things to think about that you didn't think about when you were thinking about when you were getting co-op offers. Mm-hmm. So yes, the commute is something to definitely think about. The pay, is it what you were expecting or what's comparatively good? What are any of the other benefits? One thing is, Abby mentioned education, I think. Mm-hmm. So if you have a plan or have a thought about eventually going to grad school, whether the company has tuition reimbursement is probably going to be important to you, and how much.
Yep.
I think you mentioned flexibility in the schedule.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And retirement, if there's a retirement package of any sorts.
Right. And sometimes the company will match whatever you contribute to a retirement fund, so you're getting more free money essentially.
And also thinking about whether they pay for parking or if there's a train pass that they'll subsidize, and then also the health insurance, obviously, whether if you already have a doctor, you want to make sure that they're within the health insurance that the company provides.
Bonuses. I know these are things you may not be used to thinking about, but if you can remember the jump from high school to college and how suddenly you were responsible for a lot more things, there's another jump when you're done with college and you're going into a job where you have to think about things like health insurance and paying back loans, perhaps, and many other things. So if the company's offering you several things that seem to make life easier, think about it that way.
Right.
It's going to make life less complicated. I have friends who are recruiters, and I remember one friend telling me that when she was making offers to new grads, sometimes students really tried to negotiate regarding things like the cost of the health insurance or the tuition reimbursement. She said, "I really couldn't move on those things very much. The things I could work with were sort of the schedule, the start date, the pay,
vacation.
So do remember that. That those are a few things that that tend to be more negotiable, while some of the other benefits have really been negotiated on behalf of the whole company and can't really be customized.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
You can always ask, but don't push hard on those other things, because if they don't, you know, kind of quickly make adjustments, then you probably can't negotiate that point.
Yeah, and so because there are so many variables and it's probably your first time thinking about all this stuff, it's a really good practice to take that time that they give you, whether it's a day or a whole week, to, you know, visit your corporate career advisor and just kind of bounce the offer off of them, see if they have any additional ideas or thoughts, and kind of help with the negotiation process. I think that's really important. We do have some salary negotiation or negotiation general resources on WITWORKS and on our website, so definitely check those out. And hopefully you've done a little bit of your research in regards to salary if you are in a full-time job search before you even step foot into the interview or have a phone interview, because it is important to have a number in mind before you even get started with the interviewing process.
Yeah, that's all a really good point. We're only going to go into so much depth on the radio, but with salary negotiation, there's a really good video that goes into much more detail that will be relevant to you when you're really considering and confronting a full-time job offer.
Mm-hmm. And I think we were also talking about how you respond to other companies, and we were talking about where you are in the process.
Yes.
Yeah, so if you haven't interviewed yet, if you've done a couple interviews, if you have two offers, that's always an interesting scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts about that?
If you have two offers, then be very honest when using the phrase that Rhea mentioned, which is, you're my first choice.
Mm-hmm.
Never tell more than one company they're your first choice, and be honest about which one is your first choice.
Yeah.
Usually, if the other company feels the same way, they'll do everything they can to really finalize the offer on time, make you happy.
Yeah,
I guess that's what you're thinking about, Rhea, where you've got two actual offers.
Yeah.
Then you can use that as a bargaining chip.
Right.
Like, you know, I really like you best, but the other company does offer full reimbursement for parking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious, is that something you ever do?
Yeah.
Because it really would help me out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so, and like Becky said, if you've asked for more time and they've given you, you know, whatever, you know, the weekend or a few days, gather all the information that you can. And then it's sometimes hard to make a decision. You know, what I like to do when I'm trying to make a tough decision like that is make a pro and con list. Like, what are the pros of this? What are the cons? Like, what matters most to me on this pro and con list as well? Like, kind of weight the different things in there, because you could have one thing in the pro and seven things in the con, but the thing in the pro column is more important to you.
And I think it's important to think a little bit beyond just like benefits and like your day-to-day tasks sometimes, but like, what's the reporting structure between one job to another? So if you are somebody who likes working in a big team and one is sort of that way and the other is a small individual contributor type role, that's an important consideration. So beyond just like, but what's the work environment like? Are you going to be in a cube? Are you going to have your own office? All that kind of, that's creature comfort stuff, almost. Is that right?
Yeah, the culture.
Yeah, yeah. And there's an interpersonal piece, too. I'm so glad you brought that up, because I would not want to leave this out. Experts say that people accept jobs. They're thinking about the pay, the benefits, the learning opportunity. People leave relationships when they leave jobs.
Oh, I love that.
So also, when you're considering the pros and cons, think about, how comfortable am I so far with my boss? Now, I'm just starting to get to know them, but what does my gut tell me about my boss?
Yeah. Yeah, I accepted a job once, and I accepted the job, and I left because it just wasn't the right team fit. They were a wonderful group, great people, really nice, and I was excited in the interview, but my gut was really nervous the whole time. And I didn't listen to that. And I really should have, because what that translated to was me being nervous in my supervision meetings with my supervisor, because I was so intimidated by the work she had completed. And like, I wasn't able to communicate well, because we weren't the same style of work to begin with. So there was just like a whole layer of stuff on top of stuff that if I had just listened to my gut a little bit more, I probably wouldn't have accepted the job.
Yeah, it's tough, because when you're right, you're thinking of graduating, you're about to graduate, there is a lot of excitement and nervousness in general, just because you're moving on to a new phase of your life. And so, but it really is important to kind of take a day or two and really think about the commitment you're making. You know, it's not the rest of your life, right? But and people tend to stay in jobs maybe a couple years at this time of life. But
I do think you want to consider, though, some of the things that you're being offered, like if you have a sign-on mm-hmm. type of situation. So, for instance, companies who relocate you to work there. So if you're traveling across the country and they're going to give you kind of the sign-on bonus for relocation, there might be a trial period in the first 3 months where if you don't meet expectations in those first 3 months, you not only might you be losing your job, but you also are going to have to pay that money back. This was a situation I actually watched happen at my first job out of college. There's a whole training program. And at the end of the 3 months, you get placed in a specific department. And if you don't, or you get placed in a specific department and you're evaluated. And at the end of the 3 months, if you didn't meet expectations, you would no longer be employed there. But part of that consideration was also that you would have to pay back the sign-on and the relocation package if you took it.
Wow.
So I know that's a stressful thing to think about, but if you're not sure that that's the right fit for you, especially if it's not the right cultural fit for you, that could be a risk you're taking if you go.
Right. And along those lines, if you're noticing it's a risk, is it a city you would be happy to keep searching in and living in if that right. particular job mm-hmm. doesn't end up being your 2-year job or your 5-year job?
And for the record, I actually left that job 3 months in. I did not meet expectations for a host of reasons that were kind of mutual. But I hadn't relocated significantly. I didn't take the relocation. I just moved from rural Massachusetts to the city. Mm-hmm. So there was no package for me. So I didn't have that to worry about. But it was, I made that move because I wanted to be here. So I was comfortable if I didn't survive there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So see, there's another consideration.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're a little nervous, but you want to give it a try, then assess how much you're adjusting your life to take mm-hmm. that job. And if, yeah, do you regret that, Abby? Or are you cool with that decision, given that you didn't have to relocate? You didn't have to make a lot of adjustments.
Correct. Well, there's a lot of things that went into this. So I shared with you before that actually my first job out of college, I very regretfully accepted a job offer and then reneged it.
Oh, yeah.
And that was really bad, really, really bad. And I still wasn't able to salvage a lot of the relationships at that company, which is regrettable because they were some really good folks to have in my network. But what had happened was I had interviewed for these two companies, and I walked out of the first job with the job, first interview with a job offer, and I had told them, you know, let me think about it. And I was still waiting on this second company. So a couple days went by, and I didn't really do the due diligence of following up with that second company to let them know that they were my first choice and that where they were in the decision process. And I accepted the other job because I was afraid I was running out of time. So I didn't have that conversation about when do you want me to accept it and that sort of thing. And then 2 days later, I got the job offer from this company that I ended up being fired, let go from. And I accepted that job right out the gate. I didn't negotiate. I just was like, yes, I'll take it. And then I went and reneged. And you'd think, reflecting 3 months back after I had lost that job that I took after reneging a job offer that I knew I would be successful in, because it was also my internship. This is kind of a rambling story. But anyway, so I thought I would regret it. And to this day, I still don't regret it. I don't regret that I regret reneging that first offer because that wasn't the way to do it. I wish I had told them I needed more time and never accepted it to begin with. But the second job that I did take and was let go from, I have no regrets about whatsoever, because I learned a lot about the kind of work environment that I want to be in. I learned about the kind of work I do like to do and the kind of work I don't like to do. And I learned how to be resilient and bounce back from a really stressful experience. Does that make sense?
Yeah, those are great lessons to learn.
And I also learned I was able to salvage a small number of relationships from that internship. Mm-hmm. So I learned some serious networking skills and kind of groveling a little bit, like humility, like what can I give them? What can I give back to them? How can I show them that I'm still the same person I was at my internship?
Mm-hmm.
So all of that, there are no regrets other than I wish I had never reneged on that first offer.
Yes. So speaking of reneging, as Abby showed, it really is kind of a terrible thing to do for a full-time job because you burn a lot of bridges and these industries are often kind of small and people know other people and it could really hurt your reputation. In terms of reneging for co-op, it's something that you've agreed not to do when you sign off on the terms and conditions to get access to WITWORKS. So reneging for co-op is grounds for failing your co-op. So don't do it then either.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, also, with co-op, you can still take a little time to think about it.
Right.
And whatever your hiring situation is, you can talk with your co-op and career advisor to think things through, bounce ideas off of them, and figure out how to navigate any situation.
And I just, when you do that too, you're not just affecting your own reputation, you're actually affecting the Institute's reputation. So it goes beyond just you. And I was also told that when I said, you know, this reflects poorly on your Institute's as a whole. I want you to know that. And I took that feedback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a reflection on your department's reputation.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes companies will continue to hire Wentworth students, but they'll say, we're not going to hire from that particular major anymore. And that's just
sad. Tough. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Mm-hmm. Also, you know, if you are applying for co-op and you accept a position from a company and then get an offer from another company, you can say, you know, thank you so much for considering me. I've already accepted another offer. I do have another co-op coming up, or I will be available for full time. So you do have another chance to kind of go back to them. And as long as you handle that relationship professionally, you know, you keep those doors open and may be able to go back to them either for a second co-op or for full-time in the future.
I have to ask Rhea, because I get some skepticism about this. Really? Can I really go back? Or are they always going to think badly of me because I turned down their offer because I told them I wasn't available?
Right. They'll only think badly of you if you don't handle the situation professionally. If you, like, ghost them or, you know, ignore their emails and all that, then that will look poorly on you. But if you say that you've already accepted something, you're very sorry, thank you so much for the opportunity, and let them know that you are interested in continuing the relationship in the future, that should be fine.
Yeah. Again, think back to that recruiter or that hiring manager that has a job they need to fill. They're feeling the pressure. They honestly just want to know one way or the other so they know what to do. So they either start scheduling your training to get geared up on the job, or they know to call another person and try to bring them in.
Yeah, and if you're the person who said, I'm sorry, I already accepted an offer, you're someone they can keep in their back pocket for future opportunities.
Yes, and they do.
I think this seems like a good time for a break, and we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about what it's like for the company and handling funky situations. We'll be back.
Looking at you. Oh,
And we're back. So does anybody have a story they can share about a job offer?
I do. Thanks for asking.
Great.
So I had a student, I think it was in the last year or so, computer engineering student, who had received an offer for a full-time position from the previous co-op company. So they had done co-op in the fall and then received an offer to come on full-time starting in September, but they received the offer in January. So the company, which is kind of a prestigious software company, had given the student a couple weeks to decide, which is nice. You know, usually companies don't give that, you know, much time for students to make a decision. So I think the student had about 2 or 3 weeks to make a decision. But it was really, you know, really early in the whole offer and full-time process, considering that most students don't graduate until August. And the student wanted to go to grad school, actually. So he had submitted a bunch of applications to different grad schools, and there, and those, you know, the information about whether you get into those programs, you don't hear about until, I think, you know, at least March, I think, if it's like an early decision. What?
This is a good one.
Thank you.
I'm nodding my head over here. Whoa.
Yeah.
So the student is January.
Yeah.
They have a couple weeks in January to decide about a job, but they're also waiting to hear about grad school.
Right.
And they won't find out about grad school till March.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the student, you know, went back to the company and wanted to know if there was any leeway that, you know, because he wasn't going to graduate until August, if he could have additional time to make a decision, you know, explain that he was interested in grad school, was waiting to hear back, but, you know, was really interested in going into the company if grad school wasn't an option. And the employer said, unfortunately, this was the deadline that they had, and if they didn't accept by this time, then the offer was going to be off the table. So what the student actually did was come to our office and ask if we had any policy about, you know, specific deadlines where employers had to wait like a certain time frame for to make offers or to receive, you know, acceptance or, you know, that type of thing. And then actually there are some schools who do have certain deadlines for that, you know, employers can't pressure students around certain time frames and stuff. But we don't. In this case, it probably wouldn't have made a difference anyway. So the student ended up, you know, declining the offer and did eventually get accepted into grad school. So turned out to be a happy story.
Mm. But sometimes you just have to say no if you can't say yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you're just not in a position to commit, it is better to say no.
Right.
That's a good one. I had another unusual scenario. This rarely happens, but I want everyone to know. Occasionally, a company that really, the key to their success is their ability to sell, right? They can be very enthusiastic. They can have great energy. They can seem like great people. It can seem like an amazing culture and fun. And sometimes in a scenario like that, when they offer a job, they'll offer the job. They'll give you a really tight turnaround time. Sometimes even in that conversation where they're offering the job, they'll circle back with you and say, so do you want the job? Which is tricky because it's a yes-no question. Don't let yourself get stuck in a yes-no scenario. Just say to them, I just need some more time to think about it.
Yeah.
We find that people who are vulnerable to this are either not used to having these kind of conversations. Maybe it's your first job out of college or it's a co-op. It's happened to me with co-op students.
Mm.
Or they may be an international student who is just less comfortable with this nuanced conversation that may be on the phone. It's just tricky if it's not your native language. But just remember, if you end up with a question that's yes, no, try to dodge it and repeat, I just need some more time to think about it, and try to name a date when you'll get back to them.
Yeah, it's important to have that date so you don't feel kind of left out in limbo, so that your understanding of the timeline and the employer's understanding of the timeline is the same. You want to make sure that everyone's on the same page.
So speaking of co-op offers specifically, what do you recommend for students who are having doubts about an offer because they're not sure it meets the requirements for Wentworth?
Yeah. Tell them, you know what you do first is, like every offer, express appreciation for the offer. And then say, I'm just going to check in with my school, with the co-op department, and make sure this would meet the requirements. I'm almost ready to give you an answer, but let me check with them first. It sounds really responsible. And then it gives you the freedom to double check with us and have peace of mind when you make your decision.
That's perfect.
Yeah, and just to refresh everyone's memory about those co-op requirements, it needs to be at least 32 hours a week for the duration of the semester and related to your major, where there's a supervisor there who is an expert in the industry.
Sounds like you've shared that information before, Rhea.
That's suspicious. Maybe I have.
What if it's an employer who's never hired a Wentworth co-op before? It's a common question I get.
Check with your co-op and career advisor.
We're open to new employers. We're absolutely open to new employers, new locations, new countries.
Definitely.
That's cool. What we're going to use to determine whether it qualifies as a co-op is the list of requirements that Rhea just said about a minute ago.
Yep. So we would need to take a look at the job description and do a little bit of research about the company. Mm-hmm. But in most cases, you know, these things work out.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I had a student I met with last week, and it could happen again next week, so I'll bring it up. This student had a job offer. He had bought himself some time, and he was sitting with me on a Tuesday. He was about to have interviews on Wednesday with one company and Thursday with another company. The Thursday interview was his top choice company, and he just wanted to check with me if I turned down that first job offer, because by the way, to Abby's point, it was in an inconvenient location where he would have to rent a car, lease a car for the semester and pay high rents, and it just wasn't sustainable in terms of practicalities. So he was almost ready to turn down that job offer. And then of the other two, he said to me, well, what if neither interview works out? What about, like, has all the hiring wrapped up for the fall? Am I still going to have more offers coming, you know, opportunities, I mean, coming down the pike? Mm-hmm. What's going to happen? So I want you to know, with 8 weeks or so left before the co-op deadline, I think I can safely say for the whole school, there still will be more opportunities coming. As it gets closer to that deadline, it may change. So this is a good question. You can always ask a co-op advisor. But I will say right now in early July, there will be more opportunities. In early August, that's when we get more nervous, right? But I do want you to know that. I double-checked with his particular co-op advisor and verified that.
Great.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, there's 2 months left. You do need to have a co-op secured and reported by September 12th. For fall. And so it is important, if you haven't started, what are you waiting for? Meet with your co-op and career advisor. If you haven't, you know, get started with sending those applications out, get your resume looked at. If you have been, you know, applying right along and interviewing, that's great. Make sure you're following up with applications that you've sent. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've seen all this in our emails that we've been sending you, but please, you know, make sure that you're not waiting until the beginning of August to start applying, because then it's kind of too late to start the process.
Yeah, that's then pretty risky.
And we actually do, you know, we meet with students throughout the summer. We'll do phone conversations. So if you're off campus or somewhere else for some reason, we're happy to chat with you over the phone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to all of our listeners, no matter when you hear this, our staff is usually on campus when you're on break or when you have final exams. You may travel home, but we're likely still here. So remember that. The only exception is that final week of December when the school actually closes. Mm-hmm. Then all staff go home too.
Right. Becky, you have some experience in HR, don't you?
Yep.
So what is it like for the company or the hiring manager who offers a job and gets turned down?
So there's some, it is helpful to get a clear answer mm-hmm. because again, then they know what to do next.
Right.
They know what action to take. And an experienced hiring manager or recruiter understands that's part of the deal. Not everyone is going to say yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know the stats, but my guess would be 50% of the time, maybe people say no, right?
Right.
And for all kinds of reasons. It might even be the best possible company, but for different reasons, some people need to say no. Mm-hmm. So yeah, hearing no is not necessarily a bad thing. And if you apply again for a similar job, it's not necessarily a negative. You know, it might be a different time. It might be different circumstances. They might be getting a no from you because they were later offering the job and you already accepted another job. That's not bad news at all. It's helpful for them to hear what's going on in the industry.
Right.
Oh, other companies are quicker than us. Or, you know, I notice there's a lot going on in the hiring scene. And if you turn down a job because you got another offer, that actually can make you an even more attractive candidate next time.
Mm-hmm.
And they do sometimes remember names. I've been told by recruiters, when I worked in HR, some of my colleagues told me, you know, sometimes I forget a person's story, but I remember names. When I see names on resumes, I have a general impression, if I've ever interacted with them before, of sort of a negative feeling or a positive feeling, or just that person sounds familiar.
Mm-hmm. That's good to know.
Yeah.
So it is, it's a tricky process. It's there, you know, when you're thinking about timing for interviews and applications and hiring, no company is the same as another company. You know, some companies are smaller and maybe only have an engineer who's doing the hiring for that specific role. Some companies may be bigger and have an entire, you know, human resources and recruiting team dedicated to the hiring process. So, and there's all types of companies in between. So unfortunately, I get the question when students are applying, so how long is it going to be until I hear back? And you never know, unfortunately. So, you know, when you are applying, just make sure that you are keep sending out applications, do any networking that you can. Definitely follow up, because that can really help recruiters as well. If they have a huge stack of resumes sitting on their desk and you're the person, and they haven't looked through them yet, and you're the person who's reached out, that may make your resume go to the top of the pile and say, this person's really interested in this position. Let me take another look at the resume and see if we can consider them for an interview.
Absolutely. And by the way, regarding the timeline, you wonder how long it is till you'll hear back. You can ask them in the interview.
Mm-hmm.
And the way to ask is, what's your timeline? When are you hoping to close this position, or when are you hoping to hire? And that can give you some sense of whether they're deciding right now in July or whether they're going to wait for the right candidate and their deadline's more like September.
Yeah, that's a really important question to ask at the end of the interview, because you also, it kind of guides your follow-up as well, post-interview follow-up. So if you're sitting with the hiring manager in the interview and you ask that question, and they say, oh, you know, we'll get back to you at the end of next week, then, you know, obviously you send your thank you email within 24 hours. But then by the end of the next week, if you haven't heard, you know, give them a few extra days just in case. And then you can do another follow up and say, hey, you know, I'm still really interested in the position. Can you give me an idea of where you are in the process?
Yeah, well said.
So I think it's important, with all this in mind, to just be communicative, not only with the employers, but with your co-op and career advisors, so that they can kind of coach you through this process, because it is tricky and it's different every time.
Yeah, we'll often want to really talk about it, or we'll ask you a few more questions if it's over email, because every case can be a little bit different. Do either of you have any final thoughts about how someone can be savvy in this process, which is honestly relatively difficult to predict, and it can be messy, it can be awkward, it can be full of excitement. What I've heard so far loud and clear is communicate, communicate, communicate.
And I think honesty. You just want to be authentic and honest about the whole process.
Yes, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you want to see some of this in writing, Becky actually wrote a really great blog post on our website that's called Navigating Job Offers. So you can definitely go to WIT, copesandcareers.wit.edu. Got that right?
Yes, it is.
And check out the blogs there. There are many other blogs we've written that are actually very interesting as well. But in terms of this topic, that's a great one to check out. And we have a handout as well called Deliberating Job Offers, and that's on our website and on WitWorks. And then again, that handout I mentioned about negotiation is also on our website and WitWorks.
Perfect. And speaking of job offers, if you are a senior about to graduate in August and you have a job offer, we want to hear about it. And we actually want to take a picture of you and so that you can share it with your friends and family and share it with your employer. And hopefully you'll let us post it on social media. So we're actually going to be hosting some opportunities outside around campus for you to come up and take some photos in front of a banner with the Wentworth logo and a little Co-ops and Careers logo that says, let's get to work. For all of you wondering, those banners are called Step and Repeat.
That was new to me. I didn't realize
right?
that.
Cool. I know. It's so interesting. So we have this banner that you're going to be able to take photos of, and myself and our colleague Kristen are going to be out there. We've got some pretty good photography skills. We're going to, you know, fix the lighting on the photos before we send them out to you. So the opportunity to do that will be next Wednesday, the 17th, at the barbecue, and then the next day on Thursday out on the quad, and then again on the 24th at the barbecue, and the following day on Thursday out on the quad. And we're hopeful to also be set up at Cap and Gown. We're working with that team right now to be at the Cap and Gown pickup, hopefully. So you're definitely going to have four opportunities, maybe five, to showcase where you're headed. Tell us. And if you're not headed anywhere, we want to hear you too. We want to take a picture of you to say what you're seeking. You know, if it's becoming a software engineer or sharing a little bit about what motivates you in the work that you do, we want to take those photos too. So you got grad school, you're interviewing, you're hired, you don't know what you want to do. We want to take a picture of you before you leave campus.
And that sounds like it's a great opportunity for both graduating seniors and for students in other years. Is that right?
It's just going to be for the graduating seniors. So this is for full-time job offers. But we also have an opportunity to showcase co-op students.
Uh-huh.
So if you are headed out on co-op and you want to share where you're headed, we could do a blog post about you and have you answer some questions while you're out on co-op. And we'll feature you based on your experience on co-op, because we like to share stories about what students are doing out on co-op. We think that it's really helpful for other students to have an opportunity to read what co-op is like from a student's perspective. So that's what we're going to be doing with co-op students. So if you do want to share your co-op, come on up and talk to us. We'll take your picture too. Yours is a little different. And other events, we've on Wednesday, July 10th, this week, is the
tomorrow.
Etiquette Lunch.
Yes.
Etiquette Lunch and Lunch. Do you want to talk about it, Rhea?
I think I can. So tomorrow, that's still in the CIS mm-hmm. lobby, if I'm not mistaken. That's 11 to 12. There's actually an outside company that's going to come in and give some etiquette tips for, and there's free lunch as always. And that is really great because sometimes you're either at a networking event where you have to eat and chat, or you have a lunch or dinner interview, or you're just going out with, once you have been hired with colleagues at work, and you just want to be, you know, a little bit, professional and make sure you're doing all the etiquette things. This is something I could probably use, in fact. It'd be great if you can stop by tomorrow and take advantage of that.
Great opportunity. And I think those are all the events that we have really coming up that I can think of.
Yeah. I think so.
So far, stay tuned. Follow our social media for more announcements and read your co-op advisor's emails.
Please.
Yes. Read your emails. And if you're looking to find us on social media, you can find us on Twitter or Instagram at WIT Co-ops and Careers. And that'll do it for us. Drop-in hours are every Wednesday and Thursday. From
2 to 4
in our office, which is 101 Wentworth Hall, right on the first floor across from the admissions office. That's it. We'll see you later, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys.